there, folks. This is episode 56 of the Mel Wright Real Estate Agent Show. I've got my great co-host with me this episode. Introduce yourself, Jason.
Hey, I'm Jason Bates, the host of a podcast called Valley of the Sun Real Estate Show. And I am located in Phoenix, Arizona. And you can check out my webpage at www.valleyofthesunrealestateshow.com.
Very professional, Jason. He keeps me. He keeps me under control, folks. See, I need somebody to hold my hand. I need some control. That's obvious, isn't it, Jason? So we've got a really fantastic episode today, folks. We're going to be talking about three products, and we're going to start off talking about HomeLight. And Jason really finds this product really interesting, and I had a quick look at it as well. So, Jason, go ahead and tell us all about HomeLight.
Yeah, so this is something, and I've been kind of looking back over the past year of some of the new technologies that are coming out in the real estate world. There's Open Door that people may have heard about. I think we've talked about that a little bit. There's Casamatic. We've talked about that a little bit. And then now there's HomeLight. Now, HomeLight is a little different, or a lot different than the others that are out there. It's a way for the consumer to check how relevant their actual realtor is based on their specific needs, which that whole end there, what their specific needs are, that's what's key to that whole component, in my opinion. So in other words, somebody who wants somebody who gets them the best price, for example, when selling their home, you can compare realtors against their compadres, their associates, if you will, to see who on the law of averages, who on average gets the highest price for a home. And when you can compare those kind of things, now you can really start to vet your realtor and to see whether or not they're really going to satisfy what you're looking for in a realtor. Everybody's needs in a realtor are slightly different. A first-time home buyer may require a little more time with a realtor. And if you're dealing with a busy realtor who's doing a lot of transactions, you may not get the time that you're wanting to get. Therefore, you end up being disappointed. And that's where I think a lot of people kind of get sidetracked a little bit when looking for a realtor. They want the realtor who's got the most exposure, the most this, the best that, the best marketing plan, whatever. But when it comes to buying a home, that isn't always necessarily what you may need. You may need somebody, especially if you're buying a property that might be complicated, you know, maybe a manufactured home or maybe a condominium complex or maybe a brand new home that's going into a brand new development, or maybe one that has 5 acres or multiple, you know, guest homes on the property, whatever. You may want somebody who has experience in those areas or somebody who has the time to really walk you through that process and what you're going to be up against. Well, HomeLight provides that insight, if you will, to the realtor's background so that you can make a better decision on if that realtor is going to be best suited for what you're looking for. So I think it's fantastic, really, to be honest with you.
Right. So how they're getting, you know, is it a numbers game that, you know, have they got a big advertisement budget and how they're marketing it and how, because in a way, my first reaction when you're explaining it is that they're trying to build a bit of a portal, as you know, not quite, but in some ways they're finding a way into building a portal a bit like Zillow or Trulio or something. And it's a numbers game.
Yeah, it's a little bit different because on Zillow and Trulio, you look at a property and you see 4 or 5 agents with star ratings on there, you know, reviews, whatever. But those reviews are probably from family and friends, and who's going to post a review that's bad, right? That isn't good. Nobody's going to do that. Where on this, they're taking the data from what I understand and what I can read on it and what I've seen, and I've reached out to the company. They haven't responded to me yet, but they're taking the history of the sales, closed sales, everything from the MLS to compile the numbers that then they pass on to you. So in other words, when they see a sale, if the property is listed, for example, at $100,000, but the actual contracted closed sales price is $105,000. Well, that's data that they can use to show that that realtor negotiated a higher sales price.
Oh, that's really interesting. The only thing I would say, Jason, about actually when a client gets really unhappy with an agent or a realtor, the first thing they go to is Zillow and Trulio and post about.
Well, yeah, I don't think this is there necessarily to compete with them. Zillow and Trulio are a property resource. That's how I look at them. That's where people go to look at properties. There's nothing out there to look at a realtor other than their website. And when you go and ask a realtor, hey, you go out to the, you find a property on Zillow or Trulia, you go out to the property, you call the yard sign, and the person sounds like they know what they're talking about. Therefore, you allow them to represent you without actually vetting them. You know, I just had a client not too long ago who spoke to a realtor and said, okay, that's a referral from a family member. And that realtor had done one transaction in 5 years. One transaction in 5 years. Now, the realtor is not going to tell the consumer that, hey, I'm only a part-time realtor and I've only done one transaction in 5 years. No, of course they're not going to tell you that. And as a consumer, you don't have any way to see a track record of the realtor and how many transactions they've done. Here, you can see that. Okay, now, in full disclosure, I did, and I have the ability to pull numbers of realtors and how many closed transactions they've done in Maricopa County, which is the county that I live in here in Phoenix, Arizona. And so I can pull the numbers, and then I compared those numbers to the numbers they had on HomeLight. Okay, and these are actually recorded. Now, some of this, you know, cash transactions, things like that, aren't part of the Maricopa County Recorder's Office, and you know, it can be a little skewed. So when I compared these agents that I came across in HomeLight and the actual numbers that I could pull, they didn't match up exactly, but it did tell me I could look at the highest ranking realtor, for example, in HomeLight. That realtor had a lot of transactions under her belt. Well, in the report that I had, she had a lot of transactions under her belt. So although I don't know on HomeLight if they're pulling the career numbers of that realtor or if a 12-month span or a 6-month span or, you know, where they're actually getting those numbers from, they do actually line up with what I'm able to pull. So is it completely accurate? Probably not, but I think it's a very good indicator and I think it's a great place to start.
I think that's fantastic, Jason. I think that's a real insight. One of the other things I've been talking to a couple of agents on Friday was that I use my service, and they get really when you were speaking, I was going back to one particular conversation on Friday, and they were fixated because they've moved to a new area, they're experienced, but in the new area they moved to, they're just building their transactions up. And they said, oh, everybody knows that I'm not experienced in some of the other brokers, agents in my office. But I don't think the general Joe public consumer knows how to find that information out that easily. So it was quite funny when you were saying that, because that's what I was saying to this agent. I think because you're in the business, you think everybody's really sussed up about finding out how many, because when he's looking to refer or dealing with agent, the first thing they did was check that agent over. But I was saying that the general public isn't that sophisticated, and that's what you're saying, isn't it?
Yeah, and this really breaks it down to a simple, understandable format. So when you sign into to HomeLight, right, you sign in, you determine what's most important to you. Now, this is where you have to do a little soul searching as a consumer, right? Be honest with yourself here a little bit, because you know, it has Phoenix, Arizona. You put in this. Yeah, right. Exactly.
Sorry. I was using a hand gesture there, folks. It wasn't rude.
Yeah. A heart attack hand gesture over his chest.
Wherever it is.
Yeah. Your heart. but, you know, if you're buying, selling, or renting, they actually have a rental section in this as well. But if you're buying a home, then it asks you the next part of the scenario is what kind of price range are you looking at? And then from there, it asks you if you're buying a single family home, a condominium, a townhome, a mobile home, a vacant lot, or a commercial lot. So it really kind of narrows that down. And then the key component of the whole transaction, in my opinion, is this is where you have to do the soul searching. It's going to ask you three questions. What's most important to you? Has lots of experience, gets me the best price, or spends lots of time with me? So based on those things, that's where you have to determine, hey, you know, and this takes all the agents from Arizona. So it starts to narrow this funnel down. When we started out, there was about 17,000 agents here in Maricopa County in Phoenix, Arizona. Now, just to this point here, now I'm at just under 12,000 agents, right? So there's a lot of agents out there. And so then if I click on somebody that has lots of experience, then it's going to ask you to put in your email address or something like that, right? I put in a fictitious one. Certainly, if you're serious about it, I would put in a real one. When I initially started out, I put in a real one. I did not get contacted, by the way. On the second go around, I put a fictitious one in there because I didn't want somebody calling me. And then it pops up the agents. And then you can read their bios. You can look at their transaction history. You can look at everything of that agent right there and really get to know that agent before you contact them. You can take their name and research them on Google, see if they're relevant on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, whatever it is, rather than just, you know, finding a real estate agent kind of thing. So you can really start to dive into the agent and see if they're going to best represent, you know, your needs.
It sounds really sweet, actually.
It is really sweet.
I was kind of smiling to myself, my English humor, Jace, when you were saying about the three questions. About the three questions, I was thinking that it's like the three questions I ask a new girlfriend. Sorry, I just couldn't resist it, folks. By the way, folks, I had a great response. You gave us a great response to the interview with Chip last week. Some of you said I was a bit grumpy at the beginning. When I re-listened, you're right, I was. It was just that I was missing my co-host, because he reminds me when I don't actually press the button or something I don't do right. So I was flying naked a bit. So I was a little bit serious at the beginning, but I warmed to Chip. It was a great interview. I might be totally wrong because I get services mixed up, really. Is Home Light... Do they actually buy some of these properties? Was that a
No, that's Open Door.
Open Door, right.
Open Door. Home Light just is a way for you to vet the realtor for your needs. That's all that it really is. Now, realtors, if you're a realtor listening to this podcast, you can sign up for the service to become a referral partner. And they do have leads then that would be generated to the realtor. Now, I would suggest that if you're going to go down that road with, and there's a fee for that. I'm not quite sure what it is. I thought it was pretty hefty fee, to be honest with you. If you're going to do that, I would make sure that your social media platforms, whatever it is that you're on, are up to date.
Yeah, that's so interesting as well, Jason, because it's the same with Zillow. Because actually, most agents, I would advise any agent to really take a bit of time of filling in all the free parts of Zillow, all the documentation, the bio, get some video up on the Zillow, and get some decent reviews. You don't have to go bonkers, but at least get five decent reviews from real people, not fictitious folks. And get it all filled in and then leave it for a couple of days and then go back and check it all over and really fill in everything that's available on their free side. I know you're going to get their agents ringing you, but, you know, do that. And I think you're saying the same with HomeLight, is get everything filled in before you even consider to go down the paid route. Isn't that what you're saying?
100%, because you got to think, like, okay, if people are on HomeLight, you know, checking your bio and checking your history and all that kind of stuff out, well, they're already kind of tech savvy. So they're going to check out other things. Not to say that people other people aren't tech savvy, but some people may not just be used to the internet, may not be, you know, too comfortable with the internet, whatever. But if you're going to be on these types of technical websites that help promote you, make sure that your social media is up to date and current and relevant. And I can't understress that word relevant enough, because people do see this stuff. They do check this stuff out. And if they're on these type of websites, I'll bet you a dollar to a donut they're going to be checking other social media websites out that you might be on.
That's great, Jason. We're going to go for our break, folks, and then we're coming back and we'll be discussing a couple texting services. One of them is Five Streets, and should be an interesting second half, folks. So make sure you come back. Be back in a second.
Buying or selling a home in the greater Reno, Tahoe area? I know the best CRS real estate broker, and that's Karen Conrad. And you can find her at KarenConrad.com or call her directly at 775-527-7021.
We're coming back, folks. Got my great co-host, Jason Bates. Keeps me in order. Does take some effort, a little bit.
I try.
I'm a nice guy, really, aren't I, Jason?
You are. You're very nice.
I just want to make a decent living, but I try and help people. I honestly do, folks. So let's go on to a couple of services. We're going to be talking about Five Street. One of the factors, if you're researching, if you have listened to both me and Jason, and you have filled in your Zillio profile and you have spent time filling all the bits that they offer and you've read their technical information and you really understand what you're getting involved with and the kind of budget you're going to need to get any kind of realistic result by using a platform like Zillio or home.com is one of the main factors after that, after you're bedded down and you're getting people contacting you, one of the biggest factors that will, I'm looking for the right word, really mitigate if you're going to get real leads that turn into either buyers and sellers, is your speed of reaction to that initial out call to you. And they normally email, you know, if somebody's filled in one of their forms, and the way it works, folks, is that that lead's going to go to a group of agents, and the first one that responds to that lead normally has the biggest chance of turning that into something substantial.
Right, right.
So, but you're a busy agent, and if you're in either working for yourself or you're in a small agency, you can't be available all the time. It's just not feasible, and you've got to sleep and you've got to have some kind of family life. So these people, they're sent to a group agent, and the first one that responds. So response is important, and this is where Five Street and the other service we're going to talk about come into their own. Five Street, when I get that message, most people now are using a smartphone of some kind. So the number, if the number is a mobile number, they will send a text message to that person automatically saying that you will be contacting them, giving them some kind of response. Also, there are customer management systems that can also do this for you, folks. The one that I recommend all the time is Follow Up Boss, and that has got the functionality to do that. But if you haven't got such a sophisticated customer relations system, and the majority of agents don't, this could be something. If you're spending, and you know, really, Zillow starts at $350 and quickly goes up to over $1,000 a month plus. I know a few agents that are spending $3,000 to $5,000 a month with them. If you're getting it, into that kind of budget, you got to have a system like this. What do you reckon, Jason?
Yeah, no, 100%. I mean, anything so that you can, I mean, you mentioned it right at the beginning there. I mean, the quicker you can respond, your chances of landing that consumer go up exponentially. So gaining that lead. So anything you can do to reach out to them. And when it's, I think there have been studies out there too that I've read, text people seem to respond quicker to text messages than anything else. And email used to be kind of the thing. Text messaging is a bigger thing now because we are so mobile on our mobile devices. And text messages, everybody has a notification on their phone, it seems like, for text messages, but not necessarily for emails.
It's $25 a month or so, agent, and in a team brokerage, up to four members, $75. And they do a little bit more when you look at the feature page. Like I say, instant response, web lead research. So I think they're doing a bit of scraping as well. So they're trying to see, probably using automated systems to see if the phone number is legit, the address. They're doing what in the industry, folks, is called scraping. So they're trying to do a bit of cleansivization of the data, or that's what they're indicating on their feature page. So you get, I haven't used it personally, but I know a few agents that do, and they seem quite happy with it. The messages they send are, you know, you write them. There's a little bit of modification you can do. Give it a look, and maybe it's worth trying out, folks. The next one, concierge. Our concierge text your real estate leads in under 2 minutes. This is, I'm going to get the name wrong here. Riley?
How do you Riley.
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 I'm a part of the Chris Smith and Jimmy's Facebook technology Facebook group for real estate agents. And a couple of agents were talking. This is a new startup, folks. And what they did, I tried it over the weekend, actually, Jason, because they give you a free tryout demo. And you click the green button and then you give them your details, and then they did text me in less than 2 minutes. And then I asked a question because the demo's a 2-bedroom apartment in New York, and I said, how big is the first bedroom? And there's probably regulations about giving really specific information, but they managed to answer back in not too vague a way. Then I thought I'd ask another question, and then I asked them, is the second bedroom a lot smaller, and what's the parking like in the area of the apartment? So I got another answer, and it was trying to encourage me to see, to gauge, get me into conversation, and then to kind of process me and then forward me on to the agent, or probably say if the agent is available, give me a time where the agent would contact me. So they were trying to engage me in conversation, and they also were trying to identify me of the quality of a lead I was. So I was quite impressed, actually, about how it was working, actually.
Now, how much is that service?
It's a lot more expensive than Five Street, but let's have a look at the pricing here. I think it started at $99 a month. Here's the pricing. Single agent, $99. Small team, up to four, very similar to Five Street. It's $299, but you're getting a person. And it was the response, it came across quite professionally. So I think they're utilizing people that are reasonably trained. That was my response with the interaction I had when I tried it out on Saturday evening.
Now, are there integrations in with this? So like Facebook advertising, anything like that, where people can connect, or landing pages or anything like that? Is there any integration with that?
That's the main thing. It's my name is Zilio Trilio, and I imagine Facebook, anywhere where you can set up online form, and then it will forward the message to you and to them, and you probably agree certain hours, and you probably have a login interface where you can set the hours that you're not available.
Yeah.
Where then it automatically sends the message to their team to answer the text messages. I don't know because I didn't actually sign up for their back end interface, but that's how I would think this system works. That you have a back end interface where you set the hours that you're not available and they take over. But like I say, folks, at the beginning of this, you know, response time, if you're going to spend a lot of money on Zilio and some of these other portal sites, you really got to consider one of these systems, haven't you, Jason?
Yeah, you really do. I mean, if I was doing that and spending that kind of money, there's no way, especially Zillow and Trulia, they're pretty expensive now. And I think they even mentioned that they're going to raise their prices for some realtors. So capturing every single lead is going to be vitally important.
Well, there's been a lot of talk about the quality reducing, the actual what they're doing about the increased charges is they actually, if you don't pay more money, is that they're going to send out more of these leads to a bigger batch of agents. So, but it's a publicly rated company, and you know, unless they get more market share, there's only two ways they can make themselves more profitable. That's reducing costs or charging more.
Right.
You know, I just want to finish off with, I was thinking of a question to ask you, Jason. You know, it's been reported that in some areas house prices are getting close to the heights of 206. How do you see this market going in the next year? Do you actually, you know, I have some concerns because obviously with hindsight, they were some things that were driving those prices in 206 that led to the collapse. Do you see it as a very different market, or have you got some concerns yourself?
Well, you always have concerns anytime. The problem, a couple factors right now that I think will be influencers on pricing. Number one, we're starting to see more and more people coming out of the penalty box phase. We're just now starting to see that where they've had a foreclosure, bankruptcy, short sale in their past. They now are starting to qualify for conventional financing because they're 7 years behind, or that economic event is 7 years behind them. In addition to that, we're starting to see the millennials mature and starting to have their own families, which when you have your own family, you're not probably going to live with mom and dad anymore, and you're probably going to want your own place. Kind of deal. An apartment living just isn't, you know, conducive to family upbringing type stuff. So as millennials start to age more and more, and that population gets married and has children, we're going to see a lot more pressure on housing. We're also starting to see, not quite there yet, but we're starting to see companies starting to try to retain their employees. And one of the ways that they can do that is by offering them raises to keep them. Otherwise, they may leave. We haven't seen a lot of companies give raises to employees, right? We're starting to see that happen. And there's some political things going on right now, too, obviously, with 2016. But there's been a lot of talk about raising the minimum wage, what that would mean to the disposable income of households. You know, there's some debate back and forth on whether or not that'd be a good thing or a bad thing. I think it really helps the undereducated, I guess, population of the United States, as far as that goes. But that's a good segment of the housing factor. And so we'll see what happens there. But I really want to see more companies trying to retain their employees by giving them raises and giving them promotional opportunities, that sort of thing. I think that'll be a bigger indicator of where housing is going, more so than anything else. And then, of course, gas prices, cost of living, there is a serious housing affordability issue crisis going on in this country. No question. Yeah. I've said that now for about a year. And some people say, we don't have it. Yes, we do. We have a big one. And they're starting to try to make more affordable housing. I think the Democrats the Democratic Convention kicks off today, right, in Philadelphia. They just announced how they're going to revamp housing and open up housing to more people. That's kind of a slippery slope in a lot of ways. We've heard the Republicans say they want to do away with some of the Dodd-Frank Financial Reform Act, if not do away with it completely. And now we're hearing the Democrats saying, hey, we want to open up housing to more people. So it'll be interesting to see. I will say this, that lenders, I've got a loan right now that is a bank statement loan, a bank statement qualification loan. Now, before, liar loans were, considered to be the default of what the crisis, what created the crisis, right? The liar loans. Well, we're getting back into that territory right now. We are starting to get back into that territory. Start out with stated income or with bank statement loans. I'm doing a bank statement loan right now. And the lender that I'm doing this loan through, that I'm brokering this loan to, they are busy. They are very busy, which tells me there's great demand for this type of loan product out there in the general market. So when that kind of demand is out there, you betcha you're going to have investors that are going to want to go to that because they're going to see an opportunity to make money. So we're starting to see this opening up of some lender guidelines. So, I think it all though boils down to employers. Are they going to retain their employees? If they retain their employees, are they going to give them promotional opportunities, pay raises, that sort of thing? That will help create the nesting side of the human where they want to settle down, got a good job, raise a family, therefore look into housing in a much different light than what we're looking at it right now. Right now, housing for most people is kind of temporary. It's temporary housing.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic insight. Danny, I have not got the insights like what you've got, Jason, but another factor in this brew that's going on is that you got to understand we've gone through a period of dramatic lack of house building for over 7-8 years of historically low house building. So if there's any uptake and people like what you said, millennials, people that are just getting out of the period where they suffered, where they can get a mortgage, there is going to be a tremendous mismatch between availability and demand, isn't there?
Absolutely. And certain cities and certain communities are better poised than others with job creation, that sort of thing. Like the Midwest, for example, Indiana, Ohio, even Michigan, I hear of a lot of investors wanting to invest in those cities because you can buy a house relatively cheap and the rent is more than enough to cover what it costs to maintain that property. Here in Arizona, not so much anymore. However, 4 or 5 years ago, Arizona was the epicenter of investing. Everybody in the country was trying to buy property here in Arizona. So there is a shift that's going and we're kind of growing and metamorphosizing, if you will, as to what real estate is and what it means to people. I think we've even gone through a cultural shift as to what real estate is. I see a lot more people who actually sit and stay rather than using and buying a house and trying to flip it in 3 to 4 years. People are like, hey, I'm buying this house and I'm going to die in this house. I'm going to retire in this house. So I've seen a whole different attitude toward real estate over the past 6 years change. And that's yet to be determined how that will play out in the outcome of real estate over the next few years. I think we're going to see a steady increase. Phoenix in particular is poised to have a pretty good year next year, 2017. Phoenix is becoming a hotbed for the tech sector, startup companies. They're calling it like the east side of Phoenix, the mini Silicon Valley. I don't know if it's quite there, but we are seeing some tech companies that are moving here and putting their headquarters here in Phoenix. So that's a whole different ballgame when it comes to real estate. That's a whole different world. That's not your traditional, it's kind of a flash in the pan kind of thing. So it's a little bit scary for Phoenicians here a little bit.
Well, thank you so much, Jason. Jason won't be with us next week because he's probably going off with his family. He's got actual family life. But the following week, hopefully he will be joining me. Next week, it's not confirmed, folks, but hopefully I'm going to have a guest who's a real expert in Facebook. I'm not going to say who it is, but you'd be surprised, and it will be confirmed. Otherwise, I will do a show on my own, folks. But thank you so much, Jason. I thought that was really a fantastic discussion we had. Please join us next week, folks, and do subscribe to our iTunes and give us a review, folks. It really is important to give us reviews. See you next week, folks. Bye. Say goodbye, Jason.
All right. Bye, everyone.